Today we're going to make a joyful noise. Doesn't have to be perfect, because I'm not going to be perfect. So let's all just enjoy this. Okay, Father, Lord God, I just pray, Father, that help us just to enter worship, Father. I feel like a broken record. I feel like I pray that every Sunday, but I really, really, truly do mean it. Father, help us just to even have an understanding of what that means, Lord. I know that sometimes, even if we're brand new Christians, you know, we hear the lingo, you know, enter into worship or do this and do that. And Father, I just pray, Lord, that we understand that as we worship you, we're also communicating with you. We're speaking with you and we're making our relationship deeper. Father, it's hard to have a good relationship with anyone when you don't communicate. That's how a lot of relationships fail. So, Father, I pray, Lord, that you help us to learn how to communicate and learn how to do it with love and with patience and help us to listen, Lord God. It's not just about us speaking, Father, but it's about having open ears to hear what you have to tell us, Lord. So as we enter worship this morning, I pray that we are opening up that communication. We're not only praising you and saying, thank you, Father, or help me, Lord, but we're also saying, Lord, what do you want to speak to us?
Your grace, so free, washes over me. You have
Father, help us just to die to ourselves, Lord God. And I pray, Father, that everything that's calling us, Lord God, I really just think about the teens right now, Lord. And I know that, oh, Father, if I knew everything that I know now about your freedom and how that peer pressure and all that stuff, Lord God, that just goes away. That just doesn't matter once we walk in your freedom, Lord. I pray for a boldness now, Lord God, for all of those in school age, whether it be in first grade, kindergarten, whether it be in college. Lord Father, I just pray that you give these kids just a boldness, Lord. And I pray, Father, that you set them apart, Lord. No matter what their decisions were yesterday, Lord God, that today you set them apart and you show them there can be complete freedom. I always think, I praise the Lord for my testimony, but I always think, man, if I could go back in high school, I would just be screaming the name Jesus everywhere. I wouldn't care if anyone liked me or not. I would just be screaming the name Jesus and trying to teach these kids and plant seeds so that they could be, wow, I remember that Amy girl planting seeds about Jesus. So, Father, right now, Lord, I just pray for that boldness, Lord. Pray that they are unashamed and not afraid. And I pray, Father, just most of all, that they see how wonderful and how beautiful they are in you, Lord. This world is not beautiful. Help them to not want to be followers of the world, Lord, or even emulate that, copy it. Help them to want to be yours.
I found
Oh, Father, help us just to trust in you, Lord God, as a perfect Father in heaven, Lord. I know many of us have been just completely failed by earthly fathers or mothers or friends, family, Lord. But, Father, I pray, Lord, first that you work in our hearts. Help us to have forgiveness, Lord. Father, help us not to make the same mistakes, Lord. And also, Father, we just help us just to completely just trust in you and know that you are not going to let us down, that you will be there for us, Father. Father, help us just to trust you, Lord God. And because I just know that when we start trusting you, Father, then we can become more trustworthy also, because we want to be like our Father. Help us to love, Lord God. Sometimes I feel like there's like a spirit of abandonment, Lord. When things get really hard, sometimes it's easier just to walk away. I know that was my attitude for many, many years. Things just get hard. I don't want to deal with it. Move away. Walk away. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you've just strengthened me, that you've made me a completely new person by allowing me to go through trials and hard things, Lord, that produce character and that make me stronger and remind me that, hey, I've made it through this. Made it through that trial. I know I can make it through this trial. So, Father, I just pray, Lord, that you speak to us, that you mature us, that you guide us and grow us deeper, Father.
Take my heart, I lay it down at the feet of you whose crown. Take my life, I'm letting go. I lift it up to you whose throne, to you whose throne. And I'm not afraid to
it's only you and me here now. It's just you and me here now. It's only you and me here now. It's just you and me here now. It's only you and me here now. It's just you and me here now. It's only you and me here now. Father, I pray, Lord God, that we just, Lord God, that we walk this walk with you, Father, that we are just in this relationship 100%, Father. Father, help us just to give only you glory, Lord God. We don't have the strength to do it alone. Any good thing that you see in me or anyone else, Father, it's because you provided that good thing, because you created that good thing. Father, help us to be overcomers, Lord. And help us to know that although we all, every single one of us, have pasts, we have a choice and we have a future. And we can become a new creation, that those things in our past don't have any control on us anymore. That instead of saying that we are so sad about all of these things, we can say, look what happened and look what the Lord did to change all of these things. Father, I pray, Lord God, that we do have that spirit of overcoming and not a spirit of being a victim, Lord. Yes. Because with your love and your overcoming, right, we are no longer victims, Father. Yes. I pray for this day, Lord. I pray for strength. Amen.
Now I am. All right. You don't get this in other churches. Okay, so there's a couple things before I forget. Thank you, brother. Okay, a couple quick things so I don't forget. First, a couple things to pray for, if you would. As you can see, we're running out of space. In here, the only thing left to go is the closet. And we're actually considering taking that out and putting another row. So if you guys would just pray, we want to get a some sort of like a shipping container for storage. If you would just pray for us that the Lord would provide that. I think it's about, Gary said it was like, I don't know, 3,500 something like that. So if you just would pray about that for us, God will provide. Yep. That's true, too. Yeah. Yeah, that'd be great. I love it when people sit on the floor. Was it last week or the week before people sit on the floor? Love that. That's so fun. So anyway, if you just pray for that. Also, another portable back there. I know the children's ministries are out there right now and the school. And so we could just use the space. Just pray for that and for favor with the zonings and the government and all that stuff that we have to do. So if you would pray for that. Also, if you could pray. Wow. Wow, that's all right. Sorry, I was just having fun with it. I'm sorry. We're not going to take up tithes and offerings here, so we don't want anybody to feel manipulated. Maybe we should. Maybe we really should. So, if you guys would, the tithes and offerings go back in a little bird box. He provides for the birds of the air, and so you just put all your tithes and offerings back there. And you should give, but give unto the Lord. It's back there. We don't want to make you feel pressured to give. You give to the Lord. God loves a cheerful giver. Okay, also please pray for Betty and Daryl's new grandchild, and that is Dominic Daniel. Aww. So please pray for little Dominic Daniel today, if you would. If you could just take a minute, just close your eyes and just thank the Lord for him. Ask God to bless him, encourage him, and strengthen him, that he would know you, Jesus, as Lord and Savior, Lord. Not just some religious thing or a hypocritical thing, but know you and love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Also, just want to say thank you again for everybody's help with the garage sale. Connie mentioned it last week, but for some people that weren't here, for Dave and Marcia, they left the church and they're going up north. And so, anyway, we raised $1,100 for them. Yes, that is amazing. Connie and Neely, just a great job. And so, and everybody who donated to that, thank you for being so generous. And so now we're doing a garage sale for my vacation fund. No. Okay. Also, thank you for the bake sale for the youth. Woo! I think there was like $200 raised. So that's a lot. That is an amazing amount for the youth. So thank you guys for buying all the sweets and the yummy stuff. And Wendy Jo, is she, I don't know if she's here today somewhere. Okay. Well, anyway, I especially thank her for those little lemon things. Those are delicious. Okay. Also, we want to encourage you to go see some Christian movies that are still at the theater. So we want to encourage you to go see I Can Only Imagine. If you have not seen, how many have seen that movie? Raise your hand. How many would say it's awesome? Raise your hand. Yes. See that?
It's playing here in
Bradenton. Yes, it is playing here in Bradenton. Yep.
It's dead.
Yes, yeah. So that is playing, I know, at the 20 Theater right down on 70. I checked it. And so I would definitely encourage everybody to see. And now here's the thing. We offer that, and everybody gets, if you don't have the money and you really want to see it, see Gary, and we will actually buy you a ticket to a matinee. Now listen, this isn't free money just to take, but if you, I really so want to see it, but we just don't have the $6.50, go see Gary, and we'll be happy to buy that ticket for you as a gift in Jesus' name, because we think it'll encourage you in the Lord. Also, Paul the Apostle Christ is also still in theaters. If you want, has anybody seen that one yet?
Yeah.
How was it? Can I just ask you?
Amazing.
Okay. Okay, awesome. And also, but wait, we're not done yet. God's Not Dead. Anybody see that yet? Wow, good. How was that one? Good, good, good. Half, so-so. So this is like the third one, I think.
So many.
Okay. So, all right, let me skip that. Also, thank you for the baptism. Now, the last time we went to the beach, we had a huge baptism, and I think there was a hurricane, right? It was so awesomely fun to baptize people in a hurricane. I think we baptized like 6 people. Or wait, maybe it was the time before that. Anyway, so, yeah, I think it was the time before that. So this time, there was a tornado warning last Sunday. So we baptized, but we still did it. There was about 20, 25 of us there. And Ernesto got baptized. Awesome. It was very cool. Yep. And then also Susan got baptized. So praise the Lord for that. And so they went under. It was really great. I just love these pictures. And so if you would pray for them, because, you know, if you're young in the Lord or new in the Lord, or boy, the enemy likes to just hammer on you, doesn't he? So they need people around them to pray for them and to help them grow, to share the word with them and to encourage them to be getting in the word. Hey, Hugh, good to see you. So, okay. So also part of our job is to equip the saints, the ministry. So here's some Christian radio stations, 88.1, 104.3. Why not listen to good Christian godly music if you're listening? Also, sermons online at homefellowshipchurch.com and a loaner library in the back on the left. You can take out CDs, audiobooks, books, DVDs for the family, and for a 2-week loaner, just sign them out on that loaner library book in there, and just bring them back, and you can take them and be encouraged. Okay, we also want to invite you Sunday mornings. I love it when, in fact, Carrie, can somebody pass Carrie the microphone? Okay, so will you just say, just prayer at Sunday mornings, will you just invite, I don't even know what to say, but I just feel like we're supposed to just ask to come out and see who will pray. Would you just say whatever you want to say? I know nothing's planned, so.
Okay, yes. Don't cheat yourself out of a wonderful, wonderful experience with the Lord. This coming together and praying before church and praying for Pastor Darren and praying for each person that comes into this church is so fulfilling. It's so much of a blessing. I just wish more people would come and, yeah. and experience it. I think they would be just amazed. It's, and how today everything came together, including the music. It was just, it was all what we were talking about. It's what you text during the week. God just put it on everybody's heart. Yeah. And it was beautiful. It all came together.
So we just want to invite you out every Sunday mornings at about 9:15. They start. My wife started coming out here, and now she's out the door early. And I'm thinking, man, she gets so little sleep as it is, but yet she makes it a point to get out the door with all the children and to get here for the prayer meeting. That's pretty awesome. So I just want to encourage you to do it. Also, do we have men's Bible study? Not this week. Okay. Transformers Youth Group this Wednesday, 6:30 to 8:30. And thank you for the lock-in. I heard it was a good time. I think there's about 15 people, maybe 15, 20 people here at the lock-in. And almost injury-free. Little night game of manhunt. I think one of my sons almost lost their teeth, but he did good. But everybody said they had a really great time. And so what a blessing. Thank you so much for that. And thank you so much, Josh and Amanda Panda, for doing that. And so thank you guys. Also, Thursday night, barbecue and Bible study. We're going, last week we were in the Old Testament. We're going through the Book of Kings on Thursday nights. If you want to come join us for dinner and a Bible study, family Bible study. This week it's Mark and Gary is teaching. We're going through the Book of Mark. And if anybody can take, many hands make light work. If anybody can take, is it this Thursday night food? The fourth Thursday night and can make food for the group. There's usually about 20, 30 people that come. We just have dinner at 6 and then a Bible study. Kids are all playing, having a great time, and then we have Bible study afterwards. If somebody can make dinner on the fourth Thursday and to do that faithfully, would you come see me or would you come see Mark? We would really love your help. Just for once, one night a month. Okay, one night a month. And then also Shepherd's Heart Christian School. I'll tell you what, guys, it is so wonderful to see all these kids just loving each other and having a good time. And again, as we just got back from the ARC encounter with the teens, book recommendation, not a fan for everybody. Amazon Prime, if you have it, order it, read it. That's the book recommendation for the month. Not a Fan by Kyle Eidelman. Okay, so I think that's about it. Oh, hey, it's not it. Sherry Brower, come on down. Woo! Good stuff. In case you want to sit. You're getting older, I was
thinking. Thank you. Oh, you're fast.
Be careful,
dear. I'm going to lay hands on you. Okay. George, can you just show that clip first, please? The far right-hand corner.
As an educational administrator, we want our kids to learn, grow, and develop a hunger for knowledge. When you encounter a child who's just plain terrible in class, you'll try just about anything to help him. Deshaun was a second grade boy who was awful in every way. We saw the pattern in first grade, so we paired him with an outstanding second grade teacher. But by the third week of school, it was obvious that we were headed towards a crisis with Deshaun. I met with this teacher week 3 of school, and she said, "I don't know what else to do. I have tried everything I can to help him." As a school, we jumped in and tried other things to engage and encourage Deshaun in the classroom, but after a few more painful weeks of class, his teacher was just about through. During another conversation on how we could help Deshaun, she asked, "What is this good news club that meets after school? Do you think it could help? I'll try anything." So that week, with his parents' approval, Deshaun went to his first good news club. The very first day,
the club coordinator, was standing at the door to greet the children. And she said, "Deshaun, we are so glad to see you." And to be truthful, I am not sure anyone had said that to Deshaun all year long. As Deshaun met his small group leader, they quickly created a bond over Cadillacs, and Mr. Bill began to love on Deshaun and help him complete assignments for prizes and gave him a snack. The group moved to song time, and there were motions to the lyrics and allowed Deshaun to move, and he was good with that. As the club continued, Deshaun loved it and wasn't a problem at all. My skepticism was slowly relieved as I watched all this transpire through the classroom window. Monday, however, Deshaun was back in my office. But when I called his mom, her response was different. She said, "Mr. Mansell, I am so sorry for what he did, but Deshaun sure does like Good News Club. Please don't take that away. He really, really loves it." After two more weeks, on his third week at club, Deshaun was asking questions about the Bible lesson, and unbeknownst to me, Deshaun decided to place his trust in Jesus. The following Monday morning, I saw Miss Metlin, his teacher, marching down the hall to me. And I said, "Oh no, what did Deshaun do this time?" And she said, "It's not what he did. What did you do to Deshaun?" It's been an amazing morning. He's been chatting all morning about the lessons from the Good News Club, but no one minds in the class about him talking about it because he's not bothering them anymore. As a school principal, there are a few things that are always helpful and will be received well. If you can help us bring up test scores and limit the amount of discipline referrals, we're open to just about anything. And when the Good News Club came to our school, that is exactly what happened.
Hey, thanks for watching. If you enjoyed this, then like and subscribe to our channel for more. Don't forget to check out our other videos.
Isn't that a great story? You know, this morning I was asked here because you have four young people that are going to Christian Youth in Action. That is Hezekiah Shuttlebauer, Skylar, Asdalyn, and Joe. Now, we are praying for six more. But when I was praying about coming here today, and what I wanted to share with you, everybody has a story. And I've heard some of your stories in here, and your stories continue to change and grow. And I've actually fallen in love with some people here listening to their stories. The Leterios, I've got to share part of their story. The Weavers, I've got to share part of their stories. And I love them because of that. The Shuttlebowers, I love them because of their story. And I want that gift to be passed on to the youth. Because I have to tell you, if I were to talk to some of you today and say, "Oh my goodness, the shape that our country's in and young people," I bet you could go on for quite a while, right? And we need to stop that. We really do, because we're confessing things with our mouth that we really shouldn't be confessing. And these four people that are coming, we're praying for six more, and our cutoff is May 1st. Our believers, okay, one, it's required that they be a believer, and they're going to go away for some training. And there's a scripture that says, "Let no man despise your youth." And so when they become believers, they have the same Holy Spirit you do. There's no junior Holy Spirit. There's only one Holy Spirit. And so they go away for a week of training on how to share a Bible lesson, how to share a missionary story, how to share the gospel. Because if you can share the gospel with a four-year-old, you can share it with a 40-year-old or a 90-year-old. The gospel's the same. And so we want them to have the opportunity to change someone's story. And someone's life can only be changed by Christ. Now, you can have some amazing things happen, but your heart, your eternal destiny can only be changed by what Christ did on Calvary. And so we're going to go to different neighborhoods, different areas, and share the gospel this summer. And it's all the youth. I literally come and stand in the back, work with them during the summer, get to invest in them, but it's all them that get to do that. And they're going to have a five-day club here, which is just like a Good News Club. It's 5 days in a row. So you're probably wondering, why am I here? Okay. Well, one, I'm here because I want to pray for these young people, because prayer is powerful. It's our most useful, valuable, underused weapon that we have in our arsenal as believers. And two, I'm asking you as believers to pray for six more, There are 6 believers out there that need to be a part of this that can change their story. And then 3, pray for the children and the places that we go. Pray that we're willing to go anywhere. And that God will call them by their spirit, because we want children like Deshaun to know Christ loves them. Christ died for them, that Christ rose again. And young people having the opportunity to see God in action and working as missionaries in their own area can change a life. And so I need 4 people up here. I need Hezekiah. I don't see him.
He's here.
Okay. And I need Joe. You know who you are. Get up here. Okay.
And how old?
Don't make me start calling like a mom. You know, Kristen, get up here. Okay.
How old do the teens need to be?
12 years. 12 years and up. Yes, ma'am. Yes, I can. Okay. So what happens is, yes, I will. I'm sorry. You guys may want to sit for a minute. And then we'll, okay. What happens is you pick a week, either the first week in June or the second week in June. It costs them $400, which covers curriculum, training, because they have to be trained before they go. Right, Kayla? You have to study before you go. And it provides all their curriculum and the training and throughout the summer the gas that's needed to get them from point A to point B. And so they go away, and during that week they go from sunup to sundown in classes. It's on Johnson University, which is in Kissimmee, and we do not play. It is literally going from class to class to class and getting the training. Right, Kayla? Yeah. And it is a great opportunity because their brains are not like our brains in a lot of ways. They can take on all this information and regurgitate it pretty well, where us, it might take us 2 or 3 weeks. But they do very well. And then we go to different, and I will send the parents this information that they confirm. And then I will also send, because once they go there, they have to commit to 2 weeks in the summer that they will go for 5 days in a row and share the gospel through 5-day club. And so I will send the parents so that they can sign on the dotted line that your child is agreeing to these dates. Now, Joe and Aslan did it everyone last summer. Okay. I'm happy to have them. If your child can do that all summer long, we're happy to have them. If you can only do 2, then I understand that too, because I'm honestly, teenagers' busy schedule are just hard to keep up with. And so, they will get that training, and then they will be involved in missions throughout the summer so that they can work it out. Because you know, as a former educator, that you can hear all this stuff, but you have to put it into action. And so they also have practicums there where they practice it and are observed, so that we don't just send them out there willy-nilly and not be equipped. So I personally work with them, and other people work with them, and say someone from my area is having a struggle, they will come to me and say, Dr. Brower, they need this help. And so when I come back in this area, I'm still going to invest in them so we can continue to grow that. Does that give you? Yes, I don't pay it, but I would love to, but I don't. The parent, or they get a sponsor, or however they choose to. And so, you know, if God lays it on your heart to sponsor someone, we're always looking for sponsors, because there are some children that say, hey, I'd like to go, but that is an insurmountable amount to me. So I hope I answered the questions. There is a great website, www.cefminnesota.com, which shares a lot of this information, because if you're like me, I can not remember sometimes what the sermon was on Sunday morning by the time I get home. So I need to reread and re-listen to things. So that information is available to you. And if you know someone, I'm going to stick around for a little while afterwards, and you know someone that God's laying on your heart that would be really great at that, I'd love to talk with you. Okay? How about we pray for any other questions? I love this church that they just ask questions. I think that's amazing. Okay, we're missing someone. We're missing Aslan. What? Oh, okay. Can you guys come up here so I can touch you? How about we come forward and pray for him? Do you guys do that, like people come forward and pray? Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to stand up here so I can be a little taller. Okay, you come down here. Yeah. All right.
Karen, you want to pray?
No, go ahead.
Okay. Gracious Heavenly Father, I love you. You are so good. God, right now, someone's just on my heart that they are thinking that they are not good enough. They're never good enough. Lord, please speak to them today that it has nothing to do with being good enough. You love them. You want a relationship with them, and it is just the enemy that is telling them that. So, Lord, I just pray against that in the name of Jesus. Open their hearts. Soften them, Lord, that they will surrender to your will. Lord, I pray for each precious person here. I pray for Hezekiah. Lord, I am so thankful that I've been able to watch his story and that you continue to work in him. Lord, I just love his chutzpah. I just love his outgoingness. I love how he isn't afraid to be crazy. Just make him crazy for you. Lord, I pray for Skylar.
Yes.
Oh, what a precious young lady. Lord, I know she has a story. Lord, write your words on her heart. Lord, I just pray as we go forward this summer that she will minister to little people that she senses that they have a story like her and she will invest in them. Lord, I pray for Joe. Lord, faithful Joe. I just love Joe. Lord, I pray that you would encourage him. Lord, help him to follow through. I pray that this will be the summer that he really breaks through and that you use him to your glory. Lord, I pray for Asdalyn. Lord, thank you for her faithfulness. Lord, I pray that you will use her in a mighty way. Lord, I know you already have. Lord, I thank you for the gifts that you've given her and just continue to grow them. And Lord, for the six people that are left, yeah. Lord, I just pray that today you will fill those slots. Yes. God, nothing is impossible for you. And I know this opportunity is amazing. I don't want anyone to miss out.
Yes.
Lord, please don't ever let it be about the money. It's always about obedience.
Yes.
And so I just pray for obedience and faithfulness. In your precious son's name, Jesus, I pray. Amen.
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 Thank you.
Doctor?
I didn't go too long. Listen, that's what they call me.
Yes, you may go sit down. It's okay. Thank you, Mrs. Brower. Great. All right. Open your Bibles. If you don't have a Bible, raise your hand. And now, spiritually renewed, kind-hearted Chris will grab a Bible for you and bring one to you if you raise your hand. You want to make sure you have the Word. You will need a Bible here. What we do is we go through the Word of God and we go through verse by verse so that you understand book by book, so that you understand the whole counsel of God. So we do that. We just finished with Colossians, the book of Colossians. We spent about 4 months in Colossians and maybe 6 months in Colossians and Philemon. And now we're in the book of Habakkuk. It's questioning God in stormy times, okay? So we did a record last week, if you weren't here. I managed to speak for an hour and not even get to verse 1.
Thank you.
So it helped understand. Well, I'm glad. I'm glad it helped. Well, there's a lot to Habakkuk, and it's a very different book. Habakkuk is probably a priest, as it says by the last verses in Habakkuk, but he's also a prophet, as it's going to say in the first verse. And this isn't a verse, again, for those of you who are just joining us now, this isn't a book about where God is putting a story like in the Old Testament. We're doing 1 Kings. You're talking about the history and God working in and throughout history. It's not about that. Or if you talk about Isaiah or Jeremiah, where God's bringing judgment upon a people and he's prophesying to them, it's not that at all. This is almost like you're getting a glimpse at something real. You're getting a glimpse at a godly man, Habakkuk, who loves the Lord, who's frustrated, who doesn't understand some things about God. And he's saying, God, I don't get it. I'm asking questions. Why? How long? In the first chapter, you're going to see him, you know, just asking a bunch of questions. He's wrestling with God. That's what Habakkuk means. In Hebrew, it means to embrace, or it means to wrestle. And he's wrestling with God. And maybe there's some of you out there that are wrestling with God. God, I don't understand why this is happening. I don't understand why I'm going through this. I don't understand why. How long am I going to have to go through this, Lord? And there's a lot of questions we have, right? That's being real. And we're getting a glimpse. The Holy Spirit has made available to us in these three chapters this private conversation between this godly prophet and God. And I think he did it for a reason. So that we know it's okay to ask why. It's okay to ask some of these questions. It's okay to question sometimes. So in chapter one, you're going to hear him. He's like, Lord, you're confusing me. You know, I don't get it. I'm wrestling with you about these things. And in chapter two, you're going to see that he's waiting for the answer that God gives him. And then he's going to record the vision that God gives him. In chapter three, he goes from being a wire crier to a praiser, and he's praising the Lord. It's just about, in chapter one, he's looking at things from a horizontal perspective instead of a vertical one. And so at this time, if you remember, the Israel's broken in two. There was Israel in the north and Judah in the south. You remember Israel at this time, they basically had no good kings, okay? Every king the northern kingdom had, they were all wicked kings. Very sad state, from Jeroboam all the way to Hoshea. And in Judah, in the southern kingdom, they had a mixture. They only had about 8 good kings out of 20. And the time period's right around here, around Josiah and Jehoiakim and all these guys right here. And you can see most of the kings there, other than Josiah, which was a little reform, they were bad kings, and they led people astray. So very sad. I'm going to skip all this stuff because you guys, if you missed it. The main verse in Habakkuk is probably Habakkuk 2:4, which says, behold, his soul is puffed up. It's not upright within him, but the righteous will live by faith. And we're not going to talk about all this because we went over it last week. Okay, speeding right along, we're going to get right to it. This is kind of where we left off. And so, go one more. So Philip Yancey said something about faith, and sometimes, you know, we can't see. We're looking at our circumstances, the money. We're looking at the problems that's going on, the flat tire, the person at work, the school. I don't get it. Our husband's being a knucklehead. Our wife's being whatever. We're looking at all the stuff going around, our government, our America. What's happening? And it gets overwhelming. It gets overwhelming. And God has his precious promises here. Listen, I was talking to one of the teens, the 19-year, and I was like, how do we communicate to people how awesome the Lord is and how important his word is to us? If we get that in us, it would strengthen us. It would encourage us. We could hold on to his precious promises. It says in God's word that he has given us everything we need for life and godliness through his precious word. Yet you know what we have the hardest time doing? Sitting down and reading what? Yes, reading it, maybe making sense of it. Isn't that true? We want to help you do that. If that's you, please let me know. We'll put books in your hands. We'll put audio stuff in your hands. We'll put commentaries in your hands. We'll sit with you, whatever it takes. Can I tell you something? You have opportunity. Go to these Bible studies. If there's one open and you can come, come. There's not pressure. There's no checklist saying, oh, you weren't here that day. Let me mark that down, Hope. Nobody's going to do that. But you have an opportunity to be strengthened in troubling times. And faith, I love Philip Yancey. He's an old author, but he was an author when I was really new in the Lord many years ago. But he said, faith means trusting in advance what will only make sense in reverse. In other words, okay, here, like for example, we just had the youth thing, all right, God's word talks a lot about purity, right? Okay, for example, right? And God wants us to, you know, to wait for marriage, and he has a plan and a purpose for us. Well, that doesn't make sense from the world's point of view. Let me tell you, why wait? Am I right? But God is saying, I want you to do something different. I want you to avoid a lot of problems, a lot of pitfalls, a lot of dangers. I've got something beautiful and better for you. This is what my word says. If you trust me, then I'll bless you. And I'll show you something better. So later on, you trust the Lord and you're like, oh my God, now I get it. Or maybe God will have a promise for you in a certain situation and you'll be like, you know what? I can't. If I trust the Lord here, I'm going to lose everything. There's been times where I thought, if I trust God, I'm going to lose everything I have, money. But you know what? I trusted him and I trusted his word and I didn't. And now looking back, the Lord has grown me in my faith. I am stronger. I trust in him more. I'm more excited about the Lord because he's shown himself to me. Does that make sense? Here's a little scenario for you, okay? When I first took on a ministry job, right, I was making good money. We were having a new baby, and so Elijah. And so Lisa was leaving her job where she was making good money as a designer. And then I was leaving my company. I had a computer company, networking company. I left it all. So her income was gone, and then I was taking a 70% reduction in pay. And we got a new baby. There's no way we can make it, right? But I knew the Lord said, you are to step into ministry. Doesn't matter the pay. Doesn't matter what's going on. You trust me. I'll provide for you. And I remember going through and I'm like waiting. I was thinking somebody's going to show up at my house, like a big truck full of money. Say, God just wants to bless you. Well, that didn't happen. So the account's dwindling. My checking account's gone. My savings account's gone. I'm thinking, oh, poop, this is working. What? The car was dying. Everything was going. So I'm like, I'm at the end, Lord. I thought, wait, no. And then you know what God did? I got this. I'll never forget this. I got a call from the mortgage company. I bought some properties when I was younger and had money. And I would work hard since I was like 18. I bought this property. And I was paying double, triple payments. I rented out rooms to pay for the mortgage. And it was like, anyway, I didn't realize this, but I got a call. Oh, wait, this is what it was. I got a $2,000 check in the mail. $2,000. And I thought, and I thought, oh my gosh, I so want to keep this. I know the bank made a mistake. I know the mortgage company made a mistake. But it's $2,000. I'm thinking, I so desperately need this. So I'm just telling you my inner battle, right? So I'm thinking, I could just deposit this, right? And then later, when they question me about it, I can say, oh, well, I'll give it back to you, but at least I'll have the money. I'm so desperate for it. And the Lord said, no, you know that's not right. Okay, Lord. So I called them up, and I said, hey, just want to let you know you made a mistake. You sent me $2,000 or $2,500, whatever it is, and I obviously it's a mistake. And they said, oh, well, thank you, Mr. Shedlow. We appreciate your honesty. I'm going. So he said, let me just punch you up here. And they said, no, Mr. Shuttlebauer, that check is right. I said, no, ma'am, you don't understand. I know it's not right. I know what I pay. I didn't pay extra this time. I know what. Well, okay, let me check again, sir. No, that $2,500 is yours. I said, are you sure? And they said, oh, absolutely. That's absolutely yours. I said, oh, my God, you've got to be kidding me. Praise the Lord. I've been paying whatever, $800 a month for, that's what I used to pay for mortgage back in the old days. And so I'm like, oh, Mike, that is wonderful. Thank you, Lord. And they said, I was like, oh, my God, Lord, thank you so much. And I was just thanking the Lord in my heart, right? And she said, oh, by the way, Mr. Shuttlebauer, I said, not only that, but your mortgage is paid off. And so you don't have to pay your $800 a month mortgage payment anymore. I said, what? Are you kidding me? Are you playing me? I mean, I'm thinking it's a practical joke. So, you know what? Sometimes, okay, walking by faith and not by sight means you trust what he tells you to do, the prompting of the Lord's heart. You trust him at his word, and you don't understand it right then. But looking back, you say, oh my gosh, Lord, you are so wonderful. And now I'm able to encourage maybe some of you, you know, by trusting in the Lord. No. Yes.
Sometimes it's not always a good thing. I mean, sometimes.
Hold on, we're getting you in the mic. We want to hear. Look at that, Speedy Gonzalez. Oh, yeah, that's right. I'm so sorry, honey. I took the mic away from me. Okay. We're getting in through verse 1. I'm just letting everybody know. Okay, good.
Sometimes it's that relationship that goes sour and you're praying for that to, you know, for the Lord to save it and he doesn't. And then you see later how it was really not good for you.
Oh, my
and
goodness.
You're thanking the Lord that he didn't save it. Or,
yes.
You know, we don't know. We think, oh, if this happens, Lord, this is going to devastate that person's life and they're just going to go downhill. But only he knows what it's
yes.
going to take to save that person.
Yes.
And the most devastating thing to us sometimes is what is needed to save someone's life.
Yes. And save a soul. Good word. Good word. So here, this is where we're at with Habakkuk. And so I'm going to wait on that one. All right. So let's start off. If Chris, you can hit the lights. This is in Habakkuk chapter 1. So we're going to go through these three chapters again. Probably, hey, just out of curiosity, this is such an obscure minor prophet book. Did anybody have any marks in Habakkuk before we started? Raise your hand. Oh, a couple of you. Oh, good for you guys. Okay. All right. So here we go. All ready? Verse 1, okay, of Habakkuk chapter 1, okay? It says, the oracle that Habakkuk the prophet received, okay? So here we go. The first one, the oracle, that word in Hebrew is masah, and it actually means like message, or it means like prophecy. So this is like a prophetic word that the prophet received, okay? And that word masah, this message, this prophecy that Habakkuk received, it literally means in Hebrew, it means a heavy load. It means a burden. That's exactly what it means. Yeah, some of your translations might say that. And this is what I want to tell you really quickly, even just starting right here. Sometimes when God gives you a prophetic word, or if God gives you a word of knowledge, you think, oh, it'd be so great to have this. If God gives me something like that, oh, it's so great. And sometimes it is. It's really encouraging. You get to encourage something. But sometimes when God shows you something, can I tell you something? It's heavy. It's weighty. It's a burden. Because you're looking at them and you're saying, oh my God, if they don't go the way, Father, that you want them to go, their life is going down the tubers. You know what's going to happen. You can see it if the Lord shows you something. And it's weighty and it's heavy. And so sometimes, even in Jeremiah chapter 20, this is verse 9, Jeremiah, who was a prophet alongside Habakkuk, he was telling Judah, hey, you guys need to repent. God, you're God's people. You're not even following him. Why don't you turn around? Seek the Lord. Why are you wasting your time? Focus on him. And they mocked him. They made fun of him. They put him in stocks. They beat him. You threw him in a well. You name it, right? Everything. And he's like, Lord. And he asked some why questions too. He's like, why? Why did you give me this burden? You told me to go out and tell people stuff, right? And maybe God's told you to tell them about Jesus, and you're being mocked, made fun of, whatever, laughed at, maybe even in your own home, right? And yet he's saying, I want you to do it anyway. He's like, Lord, what's going on? He's like, if I shut up and I don't say anything about what you've told me, it says your words burn in my heart like a fire. It's such a heavy load. It's heavy. It's such. I got to get it out. I got to tell people about you, Jesus. And this is what Habakkuk's at right now. So God's shown him this thing. And in some of your translations in that verse 1, it'll say, mine says, the oracle of Habakkuk the prophet he received. That word in Hebrew is actually a word called hazah, and it actually means something that he saw. Okay, so does any of your translations say that in verse 1?
Yeah.
Something that he saw. So the word in Hebrew means to see something, to behold something. So this prophetic word was probably a vision that he had. Okay, and so I just want to take 1 minute. Hit the lights there, Chris. I want to take 1 minute and just tell you that, you know, we hear about prophecy, we hear about visions, and you know, some people think that's for yesteryear, but the Bible doesn't say that. The New Testament says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that there are different kind of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there's different kind of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of workings, but the same God works all of them in all men. And he says, now to each one, the Holy Spirit is given for the common good. Verse 8 in chapter 1 Corinthians chapter 12 says, to one is given the spirit of the message of wisdom, and to another the message of knowledge, and to another the gift of healing, and to another the gift of faith, and another prophecy, and miraculous powers, and tongues. And so he goes on and on and on. So the visions still are for today. This is a thing from the Old Testament speaking about when the Messiah comes, when Christ comes, and he'll give his Holy Spirit. It says, then after doing all these things, I'll pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. And in Acts, when the Holy Spirit was given, they were like, what's going on with these people? And in Acts chapter 2, 17 and 18, it says, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. So prophecy is still for us today. In the New Testament, if you don't know what prophecy is, we've got people at different places in their walk. Prophecy is the God-given supernatural ability. It's the gift that God gives you, if he gives you that gift. The God-given supernatural ability to speak forth the words of God and or to communicate the mind and the heart of God to men or to women. It's to receive and communicate a message from God to his people. It's more than just preaching and teaching, which some people say. Sometimes it's predictive. Sometimes it's warning in nature. But most of the time it's comforting and encouraging or exhortive to the body of Christ. You see it in 1 Timothy. When Paul is talking to Timothy, he's like, man, he's like, I want you to fight the good fight. Remember the prophecy that was given to you. Okay? I'm trying to remember some of these verses off the top of my head. Oh, rats. Prophecy, Acts chapter 11, can't remember. Give me 1 second. Because sometimes my old brain, as Sherry says.
You're a young man.
Yeah. I am in my head. Thank you. Acts chapter 11, verse 27. Was it 27? Acts chapter 11, 27 to 29. All right. Give me 1 second here. Oh, yeah. During that time, like in the book of Acts, in Jerusalem, some prophets came down to Antioch, and they said there's going to be, by the Holy Spirit, it says that they prophesied that there was going to be a famine in the land. And so they started collecting things for Jerusalem. In Acts chapter 19, I think that was a guy by the name of Agabus who said, hey, Paul, if you go into Jerusalem, they're going to tie you up. They're going to take you prisoner. And that did happen. In Acts chapter 21, verse 8 through 9, there was a guy, chapter 21, give me 1 second here. By the name of Philip, who was an evangelist. And it says that he had 4 daughters, and each of them prophesied. And so the gift of prophecy was still being used all throughout the book of Acts. So this is something that's even today. Now we're going to see back in Habakkuk. You can hit the lights just for 1 second, Chris. He's going to start asking some questions. In verse 2 to 4. I don't know where that mic is, but whoever has the mic, wherever it's around you, would somebody read Habakkuk chapter 1, verses 2 to 4?
Chapter 1.
Yeah, Habakkuk chapter 1, verses 2 to 4.
How long, O Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen, or cry out to you, violence, but you do not save? Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrong? Destruction and violence are before me. There is strife and conflict abounds. Therefore, the law is paralyzed and justice never prevails. The wicked hem in the righteous so that justice is perverted.
Yeah, now this was just, he's screaming out. He's saying, man, look at our country. Look at our land. What's going on? What is happening in the world? How long, O Lordy? Why? And he's asking these questions. Now, this was on the headline news of Fox, okay? Fox News website. And that was his question. Same thing. He's like, how long will I be even allowed to remain a Christian? Now, I don't usually spend a lot of time and do this, but this was really good article. It says, that was the deeply dismaying question posed to me by my friend with four young children as we discussed the plight of the Christian faith in America and around the world. With each passing month, the shocking question becomes more relevant and more disturbing. To say that Christians and Christianity are undergoing a withering and brutal attack in certain areas of the world would be an understatement. You know, here in the United States, Christians and Christianities are now mocked, belittled, smeared, and attacked on a daily basis. And it just goes on and on. It goes on to say the New Yorker just described the opening of Chick-fil-A restaurants in New York City as a pervasive Christian traditionalism and a creepy infiltration of New York City. Christianity is an infiltration because they're putting Chick-fil-A's because it's Christian-owned. In college, they now teach about the evils of Christian privilege. On Broadway and theaters around the world, mocking Christians has become massively profitable money-making venture. It goes on to say, across the country, on television and in movies, Christians are portrayed in the most dishonest situations and prejudiced and insulting ways. Across the country, Christian colleges under constant assault. Christian groups on campuses are being persecuted and their offices and handouts vandalized. And in a nation that is still a Christian majority, there are those who follow the faith and now have been sued, okay, because they've said Merry Christmas or tried to display a nativity scene. You know, we've taken God out of school, and then we're wondering, well, how could this happen? How can these attacks happen on school? Where's God? Well, you took him out of school. Anyway, don't get me started. Okay. You know, it just, you know, if you want to stay true to your Christian faith, I mean, you have to. Listen to this. A high school football coach is fired for taking a knee in prayer. A teacher is fired for giving a Bible to a student who requested it. A Marine is cursed at and then court-martialed for not removing the Bible from her computer. Another Bible verse posted by sailors in a military hospital is labeled as extremism. I remember when extremism when terrorists put a plane into a building. That's what they used to call extremism. Now they're calling Christians extremists. And anyway, it just goes on and on and on and on and on. The bottom line is, he's at how long? How long, O Lord? And that's what Habakkuk's asking. He's like, man, God, you're not doing anything. All this stuff's going on. Lord, look at verse 1. How long must I call for you? And that first word in Hebrew, when he's saying, how long must I call you? He's crying. He's crying out to the Lord. Lord, I'm calling on you. They're not following you. They're not obeying you. Lord, but you're not listening. Or I cry out to you, and the word in Hebrew there is za'ak, and that means literally, I'm shrieking, I'm screaming, Lord, help! And it says, I'm crying out to you, violence, but you're not saving. Why do you make me even see all this stuff, all this injustice, all this iniquity? Why? And so we can ask ourselves the same question. How long will this struggle go on in my life, this suffering? And there's so many deaths. There's so much stuff. How long? Why? And there's some pastors that teach when you ask these questions that you're actually in sin. God bless you. That when you ask some of these questions, when you ask God why is this going on, that you're in sin. So you're actually, that's kind of sad. Well, can I tell you something? That is not true. Listen, it's okay to ask God the how long questions and the why questions, but you just can't stay there. Do you know what I'm saying? You can't live there. Listen, how do I know? And I want you to know this biblically. So the next time some preacher or somebody says to you, oh, you're sinning because you're asking God why. Okay, I want you to remember something, or how long. John the Baptist, do you remember him? Yes. He was in prison, right? He saw the heavens open and heard, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased, and saw the Holy Spirit descend upon him, right? And now he's in prison. Herod's got him in prison. He's going to eventually be beheaded. And when his disciples came to see him in prison, he said, when the men came back to Jesus, he said, John the Baptist sent us to you and asked, are you the one who should come, or should we wait for someone else? How long, Lord? And you know what? Jesus answered, well, you just tell him. Remind him what he's already seen. The blind is seen, blind seen, the lame walk. The good news is being preached to those who are bound up. You remind him of what he already knows. And you remember the why questions? Remember Jesus asked that question? Didn't he live a sinless life? Yet he asked, my God, why have you forsaken me? When he was taking all the sin of the cross, he took your sin, he took my sin upon himself. That's our God. He loves you that much that he would do that. In the Psalms, I mean, there's just too much to go over. I like it because it's real. If you're struggling with something, start reading in the Psalms. Start with Psalm 1 and then read Psalm 2 the next day. But look at all these whys. Psalm 2:1, 10:1, 22:1. It goes on and on and on and on. When we ask these why questions, I'm just going to read one, Psalm 43 to you. And he's struggling, okay? This is in Psalm 43. He cries out, vindicate me, O God. Plead my cause against an ungodly nation. Rescue me from deceitful and wicked men. You are God, my stronghold. Why have you rejected me? Why? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? So he's asking real questions. Maybe you're asking those questions. Send forth your light and truth to guide me. Let them bring me to your holy mountain, to the place where you dwell. Then will I go to the altar of God, to God, my joy and my delight. I will praise you with the harp, O God, my God. So he's asking, why? Why have you rejected? But then he comes back and he says in the end of the psalm, he keeps going, he goes, why are you downcast, O my soul? Why are you so disturbed within me? And then he ends it by saying, wait, put your help in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. So it's okay to ask the why questions, but you have to go back. To go back to who he is. You can trust his character. You can trust his love for you. He's already displayed that by dying for you on the cross. See what I'm saying? You can trust in him. Yes?
Even the prophet Elijah asked, Lord, why are you making, why am I always getting chased around? Why can't I rest?
You yes. Know? Yeah, absolutely. And so Habakkuk's asking some real questions here. He's saying, why do you even make me look at all this stuff, Lord, this iniquity? Can I ask you a question? You know, this is a real question. Does God ever show you, like, sin or an iniquity in yourself? Does he ever do that? I'm going to skip that. Why does God allow us to see iniquity in ourselves? He's saying, why do I even have to see all this stuff, Lord? Why does he allow us to see that sin in ourself? Why do you think? I'm asking you. Just shout it out.
So we don't get puffed up.
So we don't get puffed up?
To correct it.
To correct it. Good. What else? Why does he allow us to see sin in ourself? Yes.
So we can turn to him.
So we could turn to him. Good. What else?
Conviction.
Yes. What else?
Not to make the same mistake again.
Yes. Good.
Being tested.
Oh, these are great. So we can see how much we really need them. Those are all good answers. This is what I came up with really quickly. Those are great answers, by the way. He allows us to see sin in ourselves to allow us to cry out for him to help, right? So we can cry out in prayer, thank you, Lord. He's not showing you your lack of stuff so he can rub your nose in it. He wants to show you so you can cry out to him. Or maybe so that you can make the changes you need in your life. He wants you to reflect God's heart to others, right? He wants you to reflect God's image to other people. And you need to make the change. Maybe it's to keep us humble. Can we get prideful sometimes? Oh, I'm not like, you know, that one over there. That's right. Also, not to judge, it also to keep us submissive to him in times of trouble. Man, when I'm realizing, I'm seeing myself in the light of God, it's like, God, whatever you want, I'll just do it. I'm sorry. And then it also maybe to make us value salvation more. When I see that sin in myself and I think, oh my God, you saved me anyway. You love me anyway. Now I listen to Amy all the time tell about how terrible her life was before Jesus. But can I tell you something? Paul even himself said, I am the worst of sinners. And when I think of that, I think of that for me. I think I'm the worst of sinners, but man, you saved me, Lord. Wow, you're awesome. Now, why does he show, why does he allow us to see iniquity in other people? What? So we can help them, good. We can pray for them, good. What else? Why does he allow you to see, sometimes you see other people's sin? Why does he allow that? Encourage them, good. Ooh, that's good. Great, what? Anything else? Empathy, good. I love these answers. Why else? Here's a couple of things. That's good too. Again, to pray for them. Maybe this is a tough one. Maybe to lovingly address that sin. Or maybe like George said, to encourage them away from it, right? Maybe it's to show us what we might have been ourselves. Do you know what I mean? I look at that, I think, oh my God, I could have just, that's by the grace of God. That's, I could have been that person. Or I was that person. Maybe it's to make us see the evil of sin that we might pass by it and hate it and not indulge in it ourselves. One of the reasons why I love truth so much and one of the reasons why I want to be like a man of integrity, like as a pastor, is because I've seen some really yucky stuff behind closed doors. And I think to myself, oh, I don't want to be like that at all. So I've actually learned to be a good pastor by seeing some not so good stuff. And then also, maybe to make us admire the grace of God when he saves a sinner like us. It's like, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Hey, Darren.
Yes.
Did you use that symbol intentionally? Because that is looks a lot like a shield.
Well, you know what? It may be a shield, but it was supposed to look like a mirror.
But you know what? When I look at those things, yeah. it reminds me of the shield of faith.
Yeah.
Which is in here.
Yeah. Well, you know what else? He goes on to say, and if you notice, listen, in verse 4, he says, he's saying, why, Lord? Why do I even have to see this stuff? And now he's like, therefore the law is paralyzed. They're not even listening to your word anymore. And justice never prevails. And the wicked hem in the righteous. Now he's saying, hey, because you're not doing stuff, all this is happening. Now he's almost like counseling God. Right? I'm sure you've never done that. We all have, right? Romans 11:34 says, you know, who's known the mind of the Lord or who's been his counselor? Can I tell you something? I have sometimes. Lord, you need to do this and you need to do it this way. But you know what? A lot of times God's ways are different than our ways. The Lord's going to answer him here, you know, even in verse 5, you know, he's getting to this right now. He's saying, Lord, you're not doing anything. All these people are doing, and you're not coming down. Why aren't you bringing the hammer down? Let's bring the judgment down. Or maybe let's bring revival. But nothing's happening. And now he's going to get an answer. And sometimes when we're crying out to the Lord, he does give us, God answers us in a ways that we didn't even think of. He was already working. And maybe some ways we didn't even expect or even think of or like. Verse 5 says, here's the Lord's answer. He says, look at the nations and watch and be utterly amazed. For I'm going to do something in your days that you would not believe, even if you were told. Listen, sometimes when God answers our prayers, you know, he's working in ways that we don't even understand. You know, Isaiah 55:8 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, says the Lord. Neither are your ways my ways, declare the Lord. Sometimes, you know, I think of so many things that I've prayed for. And I thought God was going to work this certain way, and he worked a totally different way than I would have. I wouldn't even have thought of that. So he's complaining right now to God, and he's, why? And again, it's okay to ask the question. You just can't live there. You don't want to be a wire crier. Do you know what I mean? Because then you're like an Eeyore. You're the Eeyore Christian. Do you know what I'm saying? Nobody wants to tell you that you're the Eeyore Christian. But it's okay to ask, why, Lord? Why? You can't live there. You can be there at times, but you can't live there. And he says, listen, I'm going to do something that you would not believe even if I told you. He's going to bring judgment. And let me tell you, the Bible says this, and this is in 1 Peter 2:7. For it is time for judgment to begin with God's household. And if it begins with us, what will become of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Listen, he's bringing down the hammer on his house. And you know what? That should be a little something for us. If we're already crying, oh, look at all these people. How about we look at ourselves first? Are we really seeking the Lord? Are we really in his word? Are we really obeying him? Are we really seeking him? God has so much for us, right? So how about we spend less time and more time looking inward at our heart? God, will you help me right now to seek you and follow you? And he's going to say, okay, you're saying I'm not doing anything. I'm not bringing judgment down on Judah. But I'm going to do something that's going to blow you away. He says, I'm raising up the Babylonians, that ruthless and impetuous people who sweep across the whole earth to seize dwelling places not their own. They're feared and dreaded people and are a law unto themselves and promote their own honor. Their horses are swifter than leopards, fiercer than wolves at dusks. The cavalry gallop headlong. Their horsemen come from afar. They fly like a vulture swooping to devour. They all come bent on violence, and their hordes advance like a desert wind and gather prisoners like sand. And they deride kings and scoff at rulers, and they laugh at the fortified cities. They build earthen ramps and capture them. And verse 11 says, they sweep past like the wind and go on. Guilty men whose strength is their God. Now, in a moment, Habakkuk's going to be like, oh, wait, I didn't mean that kind of judgment, Lord. And he's going to complain back to God. But when he's talking about these things, I love when the Bible's proved true. When he talks about Babylon, the Babylonians, those were the people during this time period. This is just archaeology confirming the Bible. This was built around this same time by Nebuchadnezzar. And around 575 BC, this is, you can see the ruins of it. This is the Ishtar Gate, okay, dedicated to their pagan god, okay? Yes. Now, he's sending in these Babylonians. Now, I don't even know how to describe it. Imagine if you're crying out for Bradenton, okay? You're the prophet for Bradenton, okay? And you're crying out like, Lord, these people in Bradenton, they're not following you at all. I'm so frustrated. Why don't you do something? They're hooked on pornography, on pills, on pod, on people. They're all leading people astray from you. I'm so frustrated with Bradenton. Why aren't you doing anything? God's like, hey, I'm raising up people from Las Vegas. And I'm going to have them come down to Bradenton. And they're going to tear this place apart. Wait. Oh, no, I didn't mean that. Wait. Las Vegas? Lord, that's Sin City. They're even worse. How can you? That's what's happening. He's like, I'm sending these Babylonians. I'm sending them. They're not obeying me. I've been patient and loving and kind. I've repeated it again and again, but they're not listening to me. I am working. You just don't know about it. And these Babylonians were brutal people. I mean, you can see it in these old archaeological stuff that they found. I mean, they would put hooks. Imagine this. Hooks in people's noses and lips when they would conquer them, these Babylonians. They would gouge their eyes out. Yeah. I mean, it's pretty bad. In 2 Kings 25, 6-7, the last king of Judah, this is what it says. They captured the king and took him to the king of Babylon, where they pronounced judgment on Zedekiah. And they killed the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes, and they put out his eyes. And they bound him with bronze shackles and took him to Babylon. Man, he was a wicked, wicked man. And so, you know, their cavalry, oh, just the Bible is just so true. It's saying that their cavalry is swift. These are just old archaeological stuff that they found. Galloping, their cavalry, galloping headlong into battle. It just shows that everything the Bible is saying, right? They would, this is old, Babylonian artwork of their conquest. You can see them building earthen ramps, just like it says in the Bible. The Bible is just true, true, true. History confirms it. Archaeology confirms it. Man, it's God's word is just true. Okay, I've got to wrap it up. So, all right, here we go. Hit the light just for a second. And then he gives his second complaint here. I'm just going to read it through real quickly. Verse 12 says, "O Lord, are you not from everlasting, my God, my Holy One?" It's personal with our Lord. "O Lord, you have appointed them to execute judgment. O Rock, you have ordained them to punish. Your eyes are too pure to look on evil." I'm having a hard time wrestling with this, Lord. How can you send those people? I thought we were bad, but they're worse. "Why then do you tolerate the treacherous? Why are you silent while the wicked swallow up those more righteous than themselves? We have made men like fish in the sea. You have made men like fish in the sea, like sea creatures that have no rulers. The wicked foe, the Babylonian, pulls all of them up with hooks. He catches them in a net and he gathers them like a dragnet." He doesn't even care about them. "And he so rejoices and is glad. Therefore, he sacrifices to his net and he burns incense to his dragnet. For by this net, he lives in luxury and enjoys the choicest of food. Is he to keep emptying his net, destroying nations without mercy?" And it says in chapter 2, "I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he will say to me and what answer I will give to him to this complaint." Well, we'll have to wait for that answer for next week. But what did happen, you know, in the book of Daniel, it says this. It says, during the third year of King Jehoiakim's reign in Judah, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave him victory over King Jehoiakim of Judah and permitted him to take some of the sacred objects from the temple of God. And so Nebuchadnezzar took them back to the land of Babylonia and placed them in the treasure house of his God. If you want to read about that, when they took all the people, that's in the book of Daniel. And I just want to give this one thing. This is in Chronicles 36. You know, God was so very patient with Judah, and they kept rebelling against him and kept rebelling against him. And it says this at the end of Chronicles 36:15. It says, "The Lord, the God of their fathers, sent word to them again and again through his messengers, again and again, because he had pity on his people and his dwelling place, but they mocked God's messengers. They despised his words. They scoffed at his prophets until the wrath of the Lord was aroused and there was no remedy." Wow. This is a hard time. And Habakkuk's got some hard questions for God, and God's answering them. And God's going to answer them. You know, and maybe we're going to see in the next chapter or two that Habakkuk's going from complaining, he's actually going to go back to praising the Lord. He's going to realize, right, Lord, you had this all under control from the beginning. You are good. You're wanting to bring back the people back to yourself, and that's what's going to happen. They're going to be taken to Babylon, but they're going to come back, and they're going to start praising and worshiping again. Now, I don't know what it is with us that we have to get in such a bad state with God, right, before we turn back to him. I don't know why we have to do that, but that's the case. But God wants your heart. He wants you to reflect Jesus to other people. And if that means you have to go through the fire, then maybe you have to go through the fire. He wants to hear. He He wants others to hear Jesus' heartbeat in you, through you. I shared this on Kings. This is the last story, and then we'll close out in prayer. That's God's main goal. And that's his goal ultimately for his people. There's a couple, I think this was in California some years back. I can't remember where, maybe Southern California. But there was a family whose son was, I want to say he was killed, but he was close to death. He was in a coma and he was on life support. And this life support was barely keeping him alive. So he was slowly, slowly dying, even on the life support. And it was a tragic accident that happened. It was a tragedy. And the doctors came in and they said to this these parents, and now imagine this. This would be really hard to take. Your son is dying right before you. I mean, you'd probably, these parents would have probably done anything, right, to save their kid, right? And so the doctors came in. We're so sorry to even ask you this, but your son is dying, and we know we have to take him off of life support. So we know. We just want to be with him a little bit longer. And they said, there's another boy who's also been critically injured, and he's going to die. And if we can give him your son's heart, we can save this boy. We know this is a lot to ask. And at first they were insulted and hurt. How could you ask us at such a tragic time? Our son's dying. You're going to ask for his body parts before he's dead? But they thought about it, prayed about it. And they said, we'll do it on one condition. If you would later on let us meet that child. And the doctor said, well, we can't give out any names. We can't do that. Because, you know, it's confidentiality. And they said, let us ask the parents. And of course, the parents were so desperate to save their son. They yes, whatever, sure, we'll meet. And so they did. They took the heart right before he died out of the son. And they put it in the other son. And that boy lived and recovered and grew. And so later on, they had this meeting together and they asked if we could get together now that he was healed and doing well. And so they got together with the families and they said, why? Why? The one parents with the kid son that was living, they said, thank you for doing this. Why did you want to meet? We don't understand. And they said, well, here's what we wanted to do. We wanted to just be able, so wonderful to meet you, but we wanted to lay our heads on your son's chest so we could hear our son's heartbeat one more time. And the mom did that, and the dad did that, and listened to their son's heartbeat in this other boy. In the same way, your Father in heaven gave up his son, Jesus Christ. While you were yet a sinner, Christ died for you. He shed his blood for you, for the forgiveness of sins. Everything you now do, you need to remember at the backdrop of Jesus on the cross. I would do anything to save my son other than compromise my relationship with the Lord. But God did that because he wanted to hear Jesus' heartbeat in you. He wanted his love to be poured out. He wanted to see his kindness, his mercy, his forgiveness, his love being poured out. He wants to see his son's heartbeat beating in you. And he wants others to see it and hear it too. Does that make sense? So whatever you're going through right now, you remember that God is going to work all things to the good because he loves you and he's called you according to his purpose. And you remember anything that you're going through on the backdrop of Jesus on that cross. And remember, the ultimate goal is so that others would see and hear Jesus' heartbeat in and through you. Amen. Father, we just thank you for this time, Lord. We thank you for your word, Lord. And even in these somewhat obscure passages of Habakkuk, Lord, you've got your word. You've got good stuff in here, Lord. I thank you for your word, Lord. I ask, Lord, if there's someone in here who's just not taken time and devotions, and maybe they've walked with you for many years and they've just put it off because they've got too much stuff going on, that you would bring them back just to sitting with you daily, going through the New Testament, Lord. Just one book at a time, Lord. Just picking the book of John or the book of Colossians or something, just taking a New Testament book and reading it. One chapter a day, Lord, that you would be renewing their mind, Lord. And maybe it's someone who's never started that. I pray that they would come and talk to somebody here saying, I want to start reading God's word. I want to hide his word in my heart so that it wouldn't sin against the Lord and so that people could see and hear my heartbeat, that it would be his heartbeat, Lord. I pray your blessing upon your people this week, Lord God, in everything they do and say. And all God's people together said, amen, amen, amen and amen. God bless you guys. Have a great week in Jesus' name.